In the 1960s, expert testimony was given before a Senate subcommittee on the subject of time management. It was believed that because of technological advances, that in 20 years or so, Americans would have an abundance of free time. And what would we do with all of that extra time? And the experts testified that we would have to drastically cut back on the number of hours we worked each week, that we would have to retire years and years sooner, that we would need months of vacation time. Now, knowing that, let me ask you, are you struggling with what to do with all of your extra time? Me either. If there's one thing that's true of most Americans in general, is we're busy, all right? We're always on the go. We've got places to be, people to see, things to do, and not enough time to do it in. Our agendas are crammed, our calendars crowded, and our nerves frazzled, all right? We have too many irons and too many fires, and we get burned out. And then we lie to ourselves, all right? We pretend there's an end in sight, all right? But there isn't. You know, we say, well, if I could do just a little more, right? If I could just catch up and get back on schedule just a little bit more, just a few more weeks, just one more year. But like that mirage of water on a hot summer highway, the end always stays off in the distance, never getting closer. I read about a man in his mid-30s, married, children. He was holding down a full-time job. He had a little side hustle that made him some extra money. On top of that, he was trying to complete his graduate degree. And as a follower of Jesus, he also taught a young adult Sunday school class. And every week he would show up to this class and he would look worn out and exhausted. And finally, one morning, he simply admitted with little exaggeration, "Friends, I'm tired. I think I've been tired since the eighth grade." I think a lot of us can identify with that. He's not alone. According to the National Sleep Foundation, 72% of us don't get enough sleep. And we feel exhausted multiple days per week. We're tired because we don't get enough sleep. We're tired because we work too much. We're tired just because of the stressful demands of life. Well, this is a problem that not only did God anticipate, but he provided a solution as old as creation itself. And that solution is rest. Here's what we read in Genesis 2, verses 2 and 3. "And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation." Right? Three times in these two verses, it stresses all the work that God had done, but then God rested. Now, do we think that God rested because he was tired? Right? God was like, "Whew, I'm pooped. I just need to kick back, have a cold one, and watch the game." God didn't rest on the seventh day because he needed to. He rested because we needed to. He was setting a pattern for creation. He was modeling an example for us, right? We aren't made to live life on a treadmill set two notches higher than we can keep pace with. This rhythm of work and rest, is woven into creation itself. I mean, think about it. The sun rises, the sun sets. There are cycles of seasons. Animals sleep and hibernate. Trees bud in the spring and lose their leaves in the fall. Plants blossom in April and lie dormant in the winter. Nature's bounty happens in a cycle that includes rest. Now, God wanted to make sure that this point wasn't missed by his people. For the Israelites, every seventh day, that is every Saturday, was to be a day of rest and worship, a day of physical renewal and spiritual renewal. Of the Ten Commandments, the fourth commandment, to keep the Sabbath and keep it holy, is the longest commandment of them all. And yet, it's the commandment we feel most free to ignore entirely. The word Sabbath simply means rest, right? And this principle of rest went well beyond just the seventh day, right? Every seventh year was to be a Sabbath year, a year of rest for the land and for the people, you know, resting from the practice of harvesting. The land was to lay fallow, that is, it was to be left unplanted. It was to have a Sabbath from the constant cycle of planting, tilling, and harvesting. Now, science today tells us that this is an effective means of sustainable land management. It was practiced effectively for thousands of years. But modern architecture has largely abandoned the practice of letting the soil rest, and we do this through the use of chemicals and technology. After all, land that isn't planted doesn't produce a profit. But this has turned organic living soil into lifeless dirt that requires ever more potent and ever greater amounts of chemicals and amendments to simply grow food. Today, though, farmers and scientists are rediscovering the value of giving land rest. Potassium and phosphorus rise to the soil surface. It increases levels of carbon and nitrogen and organic matter naturally. The biodiversity of the soil improves, and fallow fields, once replanted, produce even greater yields. Another rest that God built into the calendar was called the Year of Jubilee. Every 50 years, think about this, every 50 years, debts were to be canceled, property went back to the original owners. Everyone who, because of poverty, had sold themselves into slavery or indentured servitude was given their freedom. And it gave the society and the economy a rest from the crushing burden of mounting debt and wealth inequality. It was an economic Sabbath that was a reset button for the whole nation. Now, these are all things that God provided for his people. And he did it to protect them, to serve them, right? It was for their benefit. It was a blessing. But of course, human religion has a way of twisting things, right? To take a good idea, a useful spiritual principle, something helpful, and warp it into something harmful. Religion turns tools into weapons. And this is exactly what Jewish religious leaders did with the Sabbath. Religion ruined this God-given gift of rest. And through all sorts of regulations, they mutated this promise of rest into a burden. Now, a few weeks ago, I talked about all of the rules the Pharisees followed when it came to the Sabbath. So I don't want to revisit all of that again, but to give you just a short idea, you couldn't tie or loosen a knot on the Sabbath because that was work. You couldn't sew more than a single stitch. You couldn't write more than a single letter, right? Only life-saving medical care was allowed, all right? So that means you couldn't reset a broken bone. You couldn't do anything to alleviate excruciating pain. The Dead Sea Scrolls, dating from around the time of Jesus, contain even more stringent Sabbath regulations. You couldn't carry children, right? You know, imagine your baby crying and you weren't allowed to pick your baby up. Right? You couldn't help an animal give birth. You couldn't rescue an animal fallen into a pit. All of this became a part of the Sabbath rules. Now, this all serves as background for what happens in Mark chapter 2 to Jesus and his disciples. And here's what we read in verses 23 and 24. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, And as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? Now, the religious leaders are complaining that Jesus and the disciples are breaking all the rules. Now, to be very clear here, they weren't violating anything that God had said about the Sabbath, right? Only their man-made rules. And they're breaking two of them. First, they're traveling. Basically, anything over a half a mile was considered a journey. That was work. You couldn't do it. Secondly, by eating grain from the fields, they were harvesting. Well, Jesus isn't buying what they're selling. And so he tells them about a time when King David and his men, he wasn't king yet, but David and his men were allowed to eat from the consecrated bread in the tabernacle. Technically, it was against the rules, but an exception was made because they were starving. Now, if David was allowed to do this, then how much more is Jesus, who's even greater than David? How much more is he permitted the same freedom? And then Jesus builds on this precedent and concludes with this statement in verses 27 and 28. And these are our core verses this week. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Now, Jesus is making two basic points here. First of all, is that we weren't made to serve Sabbath rules, right? The Sabbath was created to help us. The Sabbath was created to bless humanity, to benefit our well-being. It was never intended as a burdensome yoke. It was to give and guard life. Number two, Jesus is greater than the Sabbath, all right? What the Pharisees didn't get was that they were talking to the one who created the Sabbath to begin with. Sabbath rest was his idea, so who are they to tell him what he can or can't do on the Sabbath? Now, you and I no longer have the Sabbath as a matter of religious law, right? We are not Old Testament Jews living under the Old Covenant, right? We aren't expected to keep Saturday as the Sabbath. Jesus is very clear in Matthew 5:17 that he fulfills the law. The Apostle Paul in Romans 6 declares that we are no longer under the requirements of the law, but instead we are under the freedom of God's grace. Now, some of us were raised with the idea of Sunday as a sort of Christian Sabbath. In fact, if you're old enough, you remember when a lot of states and cities had what were called blue laws. Blue laws protected the Sabbath or Sunday as a Christian Sabbath, right? Stores didn't open on Sunday. You couldn't buy alcohol on a Sunday. And in some states, you still can't buy a new car. When we lived in Illinois, we loved car shopping on Sundays because it was the one day you could go look at cars on a car lot without pesky salesmen bothering you. Now, as good of an idea as a day of rest is, there's no passage in the New Testament that says that Sunday has replaced Saturday for the Sabbath, or that we are required to observe any particular day as the Sabbath. In fact, the earliest Christians we see in the book of Acts worship not on Sunday, but on Saturday. However, as the church grew and more non-Jews or Gentiles became followers of Jesus, Christians increasingly worshiped on Sundays. And they did this for one simple reason. Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week. Now, we may not be under a law that requires us to observe a particular day as the Sabbath, but what we need to understand is that this principle of rest, of physical and spiritual renewal, is still there. If we peel back the legal requirements of the Old Testament Sabbath, I believe we find there a timeless principle that still has great value today. We need regular rest and consistent times of spiritual refreshing. So I want to give you four benefits of Sabbath-like rest. Now, the first two are protective, right? They guard us against dangers, two dangers that threaten us. The last two are provisionary. They open the door to blessings of intimacy with God. Now, number one, Sabbath rest guards against materialism, right? Especially in our culture, we fight this constant urge to get just a little bit more. And we find ourselves working more and more so that we can get just a little bit more. And as we do this, we become focused on stuff and money, right? If I put in just a few more hours today, we can afford to get that car. We can go on that vacation. We can add that room. And so we work a little more so we can add to our collection of earthly trinkets. Well, Sabbath reminds us that there is more to life than stuff and money. Right? We need a break from our constant pursuit of these things so that we can give our hearts to better things. Explorer Admiral Richard Byrd wrote in his 1933 diary where he spent a winter alone on the South Pole. Here's what he writes. I am learning that a man can live profoundly without masses of things. We are to work for our needs and even for our wants. In fact, the Bible says we are to work hard. But never is our work or the stuff that our work gets us to become a god, an idol. It's like we need regular rest and worship to renew ourselves, to give attention to the deeper things. And these regular times of refreshing guard our hearts against materialism. Secondly, Sabbath rest guards against workaholism. All right. Many of us have this obsession with working. We must always be busy. We work over breakfast, we work through lunch, and often through dinner. And there's always one more email to read, one more phone call to take, one more critical trip to the office that just can't wait until Monday. Just one more report, one more project. And with our smartphones and laptops, we can literally take our work with us anywhere. Now, at first glance, you might be thinking, well, isn't this the same as number one, materialism, greed, guarding against that? Well, it could be. But it isn't just materialism and greed that drives our constant working, right? Some of us work because we're trying to avoid responsibilities and issues at home. I mean, that's a whole sermon right there. Another issue, though, that drives this is that we place so much of our value as people on our work. Now, men are especially susceptible to this. It can happen to anyone. There's plenty of women that this happens to, but men so often find their identity in their work. I mean, this is the first thing that the guys ask another guy when they meet someone else for the first time. What do you do for a living? All right? You are your work. You are what you do for a living. Your identity, your value, your worth as a person gets wrapped up in your work. And so as a result, if we're not working, we might feel unimportant, unneeded, worthless. And so we work, 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 work. But Sabbath rest reminds us that we are more than our work. We are more than our paycheck. We are a child of God created for relationship with him. And there is a difference between being a hard worker and a workaholic. Here's a little test, all right? Ask yourself these questions. Do you have a hard time making it through a family meal without checking your phone? Right? Sometimes we're really hard on the younger generations for not being able to put down Instagram. But the inability to put down our work can be just as bad. Do you miss a lot of your children's events, you know, sporting events, plays at school, other things like that, because of work obligations? I'm sorry, honey, I wish I could be there, but I've really got to go do this thing. Do you have few friends and little social life outside of your work relationships? In other words, your job is your social life. Do you have a hard time letting coworkers take care of projects? You have to be there to help, right? You have to have a part in it. Do you regularly eat at your desk or your workplace, right? Do you have tons of vacation days rolled over because you never take them all, right? Sometimes we treat these things as a badge of honor, as if it makes us a more important, more valuable, more worthwhile person. But these things can all be a sign that you're a workaholic, that your priorities are misplaced, and you need to build some Sabbath into your life. Dorothy Bass writes in Receiving the Day, "To keep the Sabbath is to exercise one's freedom, to declare oneself neither a tool to be employed nor a beast to be burdened." It echoes God's thoughts. In Exodus 23:12, the Israelites are told that the Sabbath is needed for a time of refreshing. And the word for refreshing here means to breathe, as in a breath of fresh air. This refreshing is needed even during the busiest crunch times. God specifies in Exodus 34:21 that even during the harvest, they were to observe the Sabbath. So even during the busiest, most demanding times, they were expected to still take this time to rest and enjoy God. When we don't set aside this time, the cost is much greater in the long run. Stress, depression, emotional collapse, nervous breakdown, psychological problems, even disease can result. Our schedules have become a cruel tyrant. We've placed too much value on some things and have forgotten the value of others, right? Like sitting on the porch with a glass of lemonade, talking to a neighbor, a good book, or just relaxing in a steaming hot bath. Max Lucado writes, "Sometimes the most godly thing we could do is take a day off." Number three, Sabbath-like rest enables us to enjoy God. The Sabbath allows us to take our focus off of the earthly things and enjoy intimacy with God. Exodus 31:13 says that the purpose of the Sabbath was, quote, "so that you may know I am the Lord." Without that rest, we have a tendency to forget. Isaiah 58:13-14 encourages the Israelites to delight in the Sabbath so that they will find their joy in the Lord. It's obvious from passages like these that one of God's purposes in the Sabbath was spiritual nourishment. Right, so a day of rest doesn't just mean skiing, golf, tennis, working on a project. It should also mean a Bible, worship, praise, a powerful sermon, or a good Christian book. A fourth benefit from these passages is that one of God's purposes, fourth benefit of a Sabbath rest is that it teaches us to trust God. When we work every day to get by on our own, it keeps us from relying on God. But when we're willing to set aside those concerns for just a day, we remember that our lives are ultimately in God's hands. We learn to depend upon Him to sustain us, that it's not all about us. We can, as 1 Peter 5:6-7 say, "humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God and cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you." And by taking a regular break from our earthly work. We actively guard our hearts against materialism and greed. We declare in faith that God is in control and that we trust in his control, that he can provide for our needs according to his riches in glory. When we hurry, scurry, and worry through life at a workaholic pace, we're betraying a lack of trust in God. And what we're saying is that I don't think God can carry me through. I have to do it all myself. However, when we rest from our work, we remind ourselves that we can rest in God. So we see this week that God has woven into creation itself the need for regular and periodic rest and refreshing. And God modeled this himself when he rested after creation. Now, for Old Testament Jews, this was codified into a religious law that was to be obeyed. God did this to protect and provide for them. Now, as New Testament Christians, we no longer have such a religious rule, but we still have this principle of rest and spiritual refreshing that has great value for us. We need rest and renewal from our earthly labors to guard our hearts against materialism, workaholism, and to enjoy God and simply trust him. A Sabbath lifestyle is a celebration that God can free us from the cacophony of our busyness. Right? Spiritual rest creates that silent space to hear our God. So maybe the most spiritual thing you can do this week is take a break, refresh, renew, and enjoy the blessings of God. Thank you. And God bless.